Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. This is Evangelist Faye. It is the 7th month, July the 1st, a new month, and it's Wednesday, 2020.
Shall always be my mind, my song of praise. For you are great.
Yes, hallelujah. Sounding good, I know. Yes, yes. I'm bringing you something what the Bible says about pandemic. And coming from the book of Numbers 14, 12, and Deuteronomy 28, 21. All right. Heavenly Father, I pray that all is doing well during this time, during the COVID virus. You're staying safe and, you know, and keeping social distancing and keeping your eye and your trust on God. Amen. Amen. I'm here to talk about what the Bible says about pandemics. And just short, I'm not an expert on it, but I do know enough that when an infectious outbreak come out, then you have to be very careful during those particular outbreaks. And the military taught us well about these things. So, but other than that, I'm gonna get with it. The outbreak of the coronavirus disease called COVID-19, it surprised many. And, you know, many other infections, they have occurred throughout history, and the Bible mentions them a lot, especially in the Old Testament. Pestilent. In the Hebrew word dever, as pestilent or plague. This word occurs in the Old Testament 46 times. In Exodus 5:3 and 9:3. And chapter 15, and in Leviticus 26:25, and Numbers 14:12. Okay. The New Testament Greek equivalent of this word is lomos. It appears only twice, both in the teaching ministry of Jesus and both referring to pandemic outbreaks that will occur before his second coming. In Matthew 24:7 and Luke 21:11, Matthew 24:7, I will read. For the nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. In Luke 21:11, and there will be a great earthquake in various places, and there will be a fearful sight and great signs from heaven. Amen. The second one is called the plague. The Hebrew word for that is negan. Also occurs most frequently translated as plague. A similar word appears in the Bible 49 times in verbal form and 7 times in a noun form. In the verbal form is nagap. And in the noun form, nekth, meaning to struck or defeat. This word sometimes means to be plagued or afflicted with a disease, though it often means to be struck or defeated, like in a violent combat, okay? In the New Testament, the word is plagued, like its Old Testament counterpart. It is also more general word that may refer to hitting or being struck in other ways, including with a pandemic disease, as in Revelation 11:6 clarifies that. Okay. Widespread destruction, technically, these two words, pestilent and plague, are not the same thing, though they often overlap. Pestilent often refers to conditions like cholera, dysentery, and typhoid, but plague often refers to things like the bubonic plague, smallpox, and measles, too. Regardless of these different words, both words emphasize the widespread destruction nature of the disease at hand. Amen. Why did infectious outbreaks occur in the Old Testament? Scripture never portrays pandemic outbreak as natural or capricious occurrences due to faith or chance. They always correspond somehow to a judgment or a punishment from God. Pandemic as judgment for the nation of Israel. God warned Israel that if they neglected their covenant obligations to him as a nation, he would send pandemic outbreaks their way. Leviticus 26:25 says this. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. For this reason, later, prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel mention infectious outbreaks frequently. These men serve as covenant lawyers for God, prosecuting the defendant, which was the nation of Israel, for her crimes. In other words, Israel was violating the covenant with God and announcing their sentence. Part of her sentence would be widespread infectious diseases, which God intended not only to punish Israel's sins, but to encourage her, the nation, to return to himself so they can follow God's covenant. pandemics as judgment for Israel's enemies, God also unleashed outbreaks on Israel's adversaries. In Psalms 78:50 and Ezekiel 28:23 and 38:22 says that. In such cases, he did not judge these nations for breaking a covenant relationship with him because he has no covenants with them, only Israel. In Amos 3:2, instead, he did so to protect Israel, provide justice for the mistreatment of Israel, expunge weaknesses, and reveal that he alone is the Lord. Amen. What about pandemics today and in the future? Well, only once again do the Gospels record Jesus mentioning pandemics. Matthew 24:7 and Luke 21:11 refer to the same discourse. In this case, he referred to the pandemics we experience today. I don't want you to be afraid of what I'm saying. Just get you a clear understanding of where these diseases are coming from. If you're with God, then you already know. If you're not, then you will not fully understand it totally. Jesus mentioned pandemics in conjunction with a proliferation of self-declared Messiah wars, rumors of wars, national and international skirmishes, famines, earthquakes, prosecution, lawlessness, and a scarcity of love. That's in Matthew 24:4-14. As believers, we easily mistake these kind of events and development as signs of the end, becoming anxious or sensational in our outlook. Jesus jettisons this perspective, though saying the opposite, that when these things happen, the end is not yet. Matthew 24:6. Instead, events like this would be and have been the regular reoccurring pattern for centuries. They are the commonplace experience of Christians from Pentecost until now. Christ called these events the beginning of sorrows, which was a common Jewish metaphor to refer to an indeterminate period of distress leading up to the end of this age, just as birth pains eventually led to the delivery of a child, but with no discernible timetable in mind. Keep that in mind. Jesus, mentions pandemic as a simple matter of fact, but he doesn't give a reason for why they would happen. Since he mentions the abomination or desolation immediately afterward, that coming from Matthew 24:19, perhaps we should view our pandemics as part of God's overarching plan to judge sin and prepare the hearts of all people for his ultimate return, final judgment, and everlasting kingdom before the abomination or desolation occurs. Also, you can find all of this in Daniel 9:24-9:25, verses 25-27. Also in the book of Daniel 11:31 and 12:11. This reference of abomination or desolation also indicates that these things will occur not only today, but during the first half of the tribulation period, which begins after the Lord raptures the church from the earth. With no clear guidance from Christ, we cannot say for sure why any pandemic occurs. Why? Because neither Christ nor any biblical prophet or apostle gives. We can guess and we can summarize and we can assume. But you know what we say about that word assume. Don't be assuming nothing when it comes to God. But we cannot know for sure. Amen. We are not the nation of Israel. The NT never teaches that God would judge either the church or individual churches through pandemics. The epistles never speak about this. And the pandemics we face are worldwide in nature. Furthermore, we are not at liberty to pick and choose. For these reasons, and maybe more, we should not speculate about underlying spiritual cause for a modern pandemic. Neither should we pretend to know the answer when one occurs. By extension, we should also dismiss anyone, a preacher or otherwise, who claims to have the inside scoop on why a pandemic has occurred. Yeah, really? Okay. We know that pandemics happen because of sin, but who sinned and where? We simply do not know. Instead, we should defer to Moses when he said, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." Deuteronomy 29:29. He made this statement in the context of describing the ways that God would bless or judge both Israel and the nations of the world. Amen. It gets deeper, but don't panic. Pandemics and other newsworthy events in mind, Christ said, "See that you are not troubled." To be troubled means to be alarmed, disturbed. It depicts a state of fear associated with surprise. To be terrified means to be terrified, frightened, scared, and in a panic. These words portray something that happens to you as a result of hearing bad news, whether it turns out to be as bad as it sounded at first. Since fear and panic is our natural response, we must watch ourselves carefully to avoid this response. If we weren't deliberate about it, then we will certainly be afraid. I'm going to say this and close. Trust God through the pandemic, no matter what you hear. Stay faithful to God's word. Love one another. Change. Help bring someone to God. Focus on that through the pandemic. It's no time to have ill-willed hearts, turning against your brother or fellow man. It's time to come together. And I mean really time to come together. Because see, God is showing us something. He's waking us up. This coronavirus is a wake-up call. And I'm just saying, do not panic. Because of the days of the old and the biblical, as they say, all the Christians through Moses' time, they put that door, the blood over the door. And when that mist came through their little town, it did not affect them, but it affected Egypt. So think about this. Get your Bibles out. Read. Study. Get to know God. Get to know His Word. And again, I am Evangelist Faye, and I'm bringing you this word today. God bless you. I hope you understand. You get the word. I love you. I just want to say I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for keeping my family safe through the pandemic. And my family, my nephews, my nieces. I have family throughout the country here, especially in North Carolina. I just found out I have two that stay in Florida. And thank you, Jesus. They're doing fine. They're following the safe thing as we supposed to do for the COVID. I pray and hope that all you stay safe. Come to know Jesus. Come to know God's word. You're going to fall in love with him. Trust me, you will fall in love with God. Because, hey, he first loved you. Until Friday, I bring you another word. Take care. I love you. And it ain't nothing you can do about it. And I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me always there when I need you. I want to thank you for being a blessing every day. You taught me your words of faith, and you guided me on my way. I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll see you Friday with another word. Amen. Amen.